Craig would be real upset with the Flyers labeled pint glass. Did not see that one because it was long after.
The Flyers are terrible. I'm up here as a Capitals fan. I'm up on a mountain looking down on everyone else in the NHL. The Flyers, I don't even, are they in the ocean? They're like down with those like deep sea fish that need the little light on their head. Why would I care about them?
Howdy, it's Monday, January 27th, 2025, and this is episode 246 of Due for a Win, the Atlantic City podcast. I'm Kyle Askin, joined, as always, by Craig Stone. What's good, Craig?
Atlantic City. So much Atlantic City that we'll barely even be able to pack it all into one episode.
Can I say I feel like this has been our third or fourth episode 246? I'm sure it's correct, but it feels like we've been here for a while.
The 240s just move slow.
Yeah, they do.
It's just now you've got me nervous. No, our last episode was 245.
We're never going to get to 250 because every episode is 246.
Everything from 236 to 246 has just felt like 246 maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
It's just like a very nondescript number. And so is everything after like 225.
So I can't even imagine. Once we're in like the 260s, time will stop.
Yeah.
It'll be over.
Because they're just like nothing means anything until 300 at that point.
Right.
We might as well just like shut the podcast down for 2 years and come back and be like, we promise this is episode 300.
Did we mention this is the 10th year of the podcast? Started in 2015, so.
I think you did mention probably. That, but I don't know. If we didn't, now you know.
Now you know. We're not there until November for the actual 10 year, but we're in the year.
I still have the dumb thing in my head that like episode 260 is this huge milestone because it's 26 episodes a year generally, even though the math doesn't work out at all for that. I mean, the math works out, but our actual actions don't work out.
Yeah, well, we should reach that this summer, right?
Yeah.
260, I'd guess it'd be in the summer.
We should do like a massive 260th episode special and everybody will be like, 260, what does this mean to anyone? It means a lot to me.
WrestlingGuy.gif.
What?
WrestlingGuy.gif.
I don't know that one.
It's real to me.
I don't know these memes.
Oh, you're terrible. Unbelievable.
Don't send it right now is what I'll ask. Send it after the podcast.
All right. I'll send it after. But you know that the gambling and wrestling, it's like a huge overlap. So we've lost like half the audience already.
That's true. Gambling, wrestling, hockey and wrestling also. If Twitter X indicates anything to me, everyone who likes hockey also just loves wrestling. Maybe everyone just loves wrestling except for me, and that's what I'm missing out on. Video games and wrestling, huge overlap. Just everything in wrestling has a huge overlap. All right, always once never came up with this one this morning. Dunkin', Starbucks, and every non-chain coffee and pastry place inside of an Atlantic City casino. So specifically for this challenge is Atlantic City casino stuff. So you're not getting rid of, like, every Dunkin' in the world and every Starbucks in the world. That would be ridiculous. But you're getting rid of two Starbucks at Tropicana, one at Borgata, one at Hard Rock, one at Caesars, one at Ocean, the Dunkin's at Resorts and Bally's, or non-chain coffee places are Cafe Chino at Ocean, Borgata Baking Company, the little coffee stand in the MGM Tower lobby, Bean and Bread at Golden Nugget, Taza at Caesars, Harrah's, and Tropicana, apparently, which I didn't realize there's one in the marketplace, but their website says there is. I was just there, and I don't remember seeing it.
I don't go through the marketplace a whole lot, I have to say, even when I'm in Trop, so I have no idea what they've got down there these days.
Margaritaville Coffee, I'm including that, even though Margaritaville is a chain, and there are several Margaritaville Coffee companies at various resorts-type places, lowercase r resorts, around the country. Is Bread and Butter a coffee shop for these purposes, or do they get out?
I don't think it's a coffee shop.
Okay, fine. They survive.
Borgata Baking and the coffee stand in the MGM Tower are definitely coffee shops, but not Bread and Butter.
Bread and Butter is like enclosed enough.
Yeah.
That you're not just like walking straight up to like a counter with a bunch of pastries in it. Even though that is what's there, there's a real menu.
There's like a long line. I feel like that's something else that separates all these places. Although Starbucks, it's like a zoo all the time. I don't know. To me, it doesn't feel like a coffee shop per se. Like the emphasis is on the like sandwiches, I feel like, more than the coffee or pastry.
Okay, so which one of these are you going to every trip? Which one of these are you going to once more and never again? And which one is going into the ocean?
I mean, if we want to judge on my past behavior, which is probably the best thing to judge on, it would probably be Dunkin' Always, non-chain joints once more and just never for Starbucks. So in answering this question, I have to admit that I'm not a coffee drinker at all, which probably makes me different from the majority of our audience. So to me, like, Starbucks doesn't give me anything. I drink tea. They have tea, but it's like $5 at a normal Starbucks or something like that, which is just crazy to me. Yeah, Starbucks doesn't do anything for me. Their food is fine. I also think the Dunkin' food is only fine. I mean, I think the best food is at non-chain joints, but sometimes I just want a 32-ounce iced tea for the low, low price of free, which I can get at resorts with my points. So, I don't know. It feels like kind of a cop-out to say Dunkin' always, non-chain once, and Starbucks never.
Why?
I could say non-chain always, but realistically, I don't want to do that. Dunkin' always, non-chain once, Starbucks never again.
The hard part about Dunkin' is that it's got the fewest.
I never go to the Bally's one, though. It's only the resorts one for me. Like, Bally's can go into the ocean for all I care, too, because they don't take my points. And I'm not paying $5 for a tea, like I just said when talking about Starbucks.
You're basically only talking about the Dunkin' at resorts, like you just said. So yeah. Their convenience factor is difficult.
So I went this trip on Thursday morning. Yeah, I went to the Dunkin' on Atlantic Ave near the hospital. So that is like a replacement, and that is right outside the Bally's, honestly. It's like probably a block away from the Bally's Dunkin'.
So I do have a follow-up question for you then, but I'll do mine first. I'm going to go always non-chain joints.
Uh-huh. I'm curious to see what your once more is.
I certainly go to Dunkin' way more often than I go to Starbucks or non-chain coffee places in my daily life.
Like, right, but Dunkin'. I feel like in AC, you're much more of a Starbucks guy.
I am. It's very expensive in Atlantic City.
But probably just because it's more convenient?
It's more convenient at more casinos, and I like their crazy lattes, which Dunkin' also has crazy lattes, but I don't think they're quite as good as Starbucks. The other thing is, usually I'm very tired in Atlantic City because I stay up way too late. And Starbucks coffee, their like regular coffee, is supercharged caffeinated. Like, it's just an absurd amount of caffeine in a Grande Pike place. Look it up. It's ridiculous. It's like more than an energy drink by a lot. So sometimes I just want that. So like, if I'm at Borgata, I pretty much always get a Starbucks at some point. But I like the variety of the non-chain places. I think if I'm only going once more, if I'm throwing those into the ocean, I lose a lot of dessert options too.
That is true. Like, I love getting a pastry from a non-chain place or whatever, so I'd be sad to see them go.
There are replacements. Like, you can go to Bread and Butter. You can go to, I don't know.
You can go, as I did, off of casino properties too and get, you know.
That's true. There's like Formica. Freitag. There are other pastry places. But I'm going to go non-chain always, which does give me a lot of variety. There's one in almost every casino. Hard Rock has that Alexia's patisserie, which, oh, I didn't include that in the non-chain. That should be included in the non-chain joints.
Yeah, every place has a generic bakery, pretty much.
There's something about hitting that non-chain coffee place at the casino where you're like, yeah, give me a big-ass Danish.
I feel like the only place that maybe didn't used to have one is Golden Nugget, but then they got rid of the Starbucks and replaced it with a non-chain place, right?
So Bean and Bread, yeah. Mm-hmm. Give me a coffee that's like probably not all that good. That's exactly what I want. And then once more, I think I got to go with Starbucks to get some ridiculous latte and then Dunkin' into the ocean. It feels wrong. It just feels wrong. But specifically for Atlantic City, I'm going with it.
I mean, I feel like you don't love resorts as much as I do, so I think it makes a certain amount of sense.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also getting Dunkin' at least 3 times a week in my non-AC life, so it's not like I'm losing that much from my life as a whole by not having Dunkin' in Atlantic City.
I just got boosted status for another month today.
I'll get there this week.
Yeah.
Follow-up question. Does it change your answer at all if you include the Dunkin's outside of the Trop parking garage and at the end of the block behind Claridge and the Starbucks in the outlets? But you already said always for Dunkin's.
No,
so.
I think if I were looking at this as like, this will be good for personal growth or something, and like, this is the person I want to be, I think it could matter, and I could maybe more realistically be like, the way it was originally stated, say non-chain joints always and Dunkin' once more, but yeah, just realistically, no, it doesn't matter because I already picked Dunkin' as my always. So
for personal growth, though, like if you're talking about like, oh, I'm getting more variety in my life or something by going,
I don't know,
then you would really just, you'd be better off leaving the casino and going to like Heyday or Formica Freitag.
It's kind of weak going to Dunkin' all the time.
Yeah, I
agree. But yeah, they have big iced teas that are good. I mean, their McDonald's right outside also can fit that bill too. Their pastries aren't as good though. Like, I think they have one or two, but they're not great.
Apple pie?
Yeah. No. They've got, like, some sort of morning pastry.
Do they?
In the mornings. I think so.
Don't know anything about that.
They have muffins or something.
No. Nobody wants that.
Yeah. It's all right.
All right. So that's the Always Once Never. I believe we're skipping all news today because we don't have time for any of that.
Yeah, we got double trip report. I went, you went, not together.
That's true. You went solo again, which I say again, but it's been like...
It's been a year and a half or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd it go?
Yeah, it was good. So, like I mentioned last episode, which came out long after my trip actually happened, I was just going mainly to match into Superstar from my Caesar's Diamond before it expired.
Superstar at Bally's.
Superstar at Bally's, yes. It went pretty well. I mean, I wish the gambling had gone a bit better, honestly. But beyond that, I mean, I had a great trip, despite the gambling or taking everything into consideration except the gambling.
For all the listeners who expect a complete play-by-play, like minute-by-minute breakdown, we're going to try to avoid that, especially since we have double trip reports. But do you have any like real highlights that you want to talk about, or do you want me to just rattle off some questions?
I mean, I can just rattle off the minute-by-minute and get through it in like 3 minutes. So,
okay.
So I got there, I parked at Noyce Arts Garage like always. I walked down to King's Pub, basically right when I got there, to have lunch, because it was right around 12:30 or 1 o'clock when I got there, and there was not a whole lot open on the boardwalk, not surprisingly, for a Wednesday when it was bitter cold in January. So, ran into King's Pub, got a pint of Miller Lite and a short rib sandwich. It was very good. It was also extremely cheap. Did that, I ran over to Resorts just to get a Dunkin', as always, and went back to Bally's, did my match, gambled there for, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours, so quite a while. Went back to Caesars, checked in to my room, went to Nobu for dinner, which I know you'll have questions about. Gambled a bit more after that, went to sleep pretty early, woke up, went out to Maria's Luncheonette just to try it. That's probably one of the more iconic places I have not tried in Atlantic City yet. I walked to the Dunkin' on Atlantic Ave, like I mentioned, went back, gambled a little bit more at Caesars, and then basically just got out of there, but grabbed some Formica fried egg on my way out of town. And that's my trip. All right, your trip. <Go ahead.
laughs> I have lots of questions.
Yep.
Starting with the status match at Bally's.
Yep.
Is there any sort of bonus with that? Like, do they give you any free play?
Nope. They didn't give me anything. I read that if you bring in a physical mailer only,
yes,
they will match slot play on it, but I did not do that.
I did that like 3 years ago.
I'm getting mailers now for like February and March or whatever, so I didn't have a January mailer anyway, and like I would have wanted to do it with my Golden Nugget mailers because they were like by far give me the most play. I mean, they actually give me a significant amount of free play. So no, I didn't do it. So I got nothing.
Missed out.
Other than the card. And they warned me when I got the card. They're like, we judge this all the time, so it says that your card's not going to expire until the end of the year, but it might expire way before that, which is what happened last time. If you remember, my card expired like a month after I got it.
That's sort of lame.
That's fine. Oh, I do also get just something for you if we want to really relive the magic. One free lounge entry for me and a guest, but it's only open Friday and Saturday, so I couldn't do it on the Wednesday I was there.
I do want to relive the magic.
Yeah.
The reason I think it's sort of lame that they reassess the status is like, what are the benefits that they're taking away? Like, just use your
comps to get into the lounge? Yeah, I don't know
what
really it is. Is there a dinner like there is at Caesars on it? There might be, but I don't know.
I have no idea. But like the diamond status, right? If say you have diamond at Caesars, if you go and no play on your diamond, you're going to not get comped rooms.
Right.
Right? Like it's not like you're getting a whole bunch of consistent, frequent benefits and like taking advantage of the system by just having diamond. And like other than the one-time use of the diamond celebration dinner and then the lounge access, and I guess like, ooh, you get the shorter lines at the cashier and the check-in. What are they really losing? Resort fees, I guess? I don't know. It just seems a little bit like, ooh, you might lose this. Like, here's this punitive thing. Like, just don't even say that. Did you have any nice gambling wins? You said the gambling did not go well.
So at Bally's, I actually did fine. I was about even. So I lost a bunch at Bally's over time, and then the last thing I did pretty much was play one last session of craps after the first session of craps already went very bad, and I just had a huge win there. So cashed out almost $1,000 with the $300 buy-in. So that basically got me back to almost even, I think. So craps was my big win.
What did you play? Like, what was your play split between slots, video poker, and table games with me not there dragging you to the slots in video poker?
I played, by time, certainly mostly table games by, like, different machines I played, because I played a couple of slots. I actually played Heidi and Hannah's for a little bit, and then I played the Wonka Dreamers of Dreams, which is what I played at Borgata, by the way, since we didn't know which Wonka it was.
Ah, good to know. Okay.
I played that for a while, too. I do think it's very fun. I enjoyed it a lot.
Good.
But yeah, mostly table games. I played Blackjack for a while, which was good. I did play some 9-5 Jacks or better. There's one machine in Bally's that has 9-5. Not 9-6, but 9-5.
Ah, okay.
And believe it or not, it went absolutely abysmal, as always. So
yeah, so Bally's used to have a good amount of full-pay video poker.
Just one 9-5 now, I think, is it.
What about Caesars video poker? Did you look for any 9-6 there? Because there used to be 9-6 quarters.
I think there is some 9-6 still, according to VP3, but I went into the high limit room, then checked out my old machines, and none of them are 9-6 anymore.
Oh,
so
no.
I did play a little bit of 8-5, just that was the Thursday morning before I left, and it also went very bad. So didn't matter what I would have played, because nothing was being won anyway.
All right, so I have some Bally's questions.
Sure.
What were the table limits like at Bally's? Because they're typically a low roller style casino. They used to advertise cheap tables all the time.
I think they were all 15. It was the same as everywhere else.
I mean, midweek, like that's
yeah
very normal.
I think it's
everyone.
More expensive than it would have been at resorts, let's say,
yeah.
Or maybe even Borgata.
What about Caesars?
The same thing.
Same. Okay. Was there tiles at Bally's?
No. So I have to say, I think like if you want my overall thoughts on Bally's,
I do.
I think game selection is very limited for table games on a Wednesday at lunchtime or whatever, which isn't that surprising, I guess. I don't even think there was regular Paigao. There was a few tables of blackjack. There was one craps table open. There's like maybe one or two three card or something, but there was like not a whole lot open in terms of table games. Craps crew was very good. My blackjack dealer was also very good. They have a good selection of slots, I think. Much better, honestly, than Caesars does, in my opinion. I came away from my like overall experience this trip being pretty high on Bally's. Like,
oh, wow.
To me, you know, maybe this is a low bar, but I feel like they're trying a little bit to be a successful casino in a way that Caesars is not trying to be a successful casino. Like I said, there's at least new slot machines there or whatever, which you have to like spend some money on instead of having the same old shitty slots as you've had for the last 5 years, which is what I feel like Caesars is doing. I think the crews were a bit better at Bally's. Yeah, game selection was a big problem, though.
So I was going to ask, but I think you've sort of answered it. Assuming that you get offers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also ignoring the fact that you've set this goal of staying in every casino this year, would you stay at Bally's if they give you an offer? Like, all things being equal, say you've got the Caesars properties and you've got Bally's, would you be like, I'll give Bally's a shot?
I would give them a shot, yeah. I have to say about Caesars, my Centurion Tower room was quite nice. I suspect a bit nicer than anything I would get at Bally's, honestly.
Yeah.
So that was good.
So renovated Centurion Tower?
Yeah, it was renovated Centurion Tower. It's a very pleasant place to stay, in Caesar's defense.
I do love the Centurion Tower. Like, that was our staple for a while.
Mm-hmm. But I would give Bally's a shot. Like I said, I think that the experience staying there would be worse than staying in Centurion Tower, but I haven't stayed there in so long, so.
You mentioned at Caesar's that just about everything was closed, including the Hook. Well, you were there on a Wednesday, so the Hook doesn't run on Wednesdays.
Yep, Super Frico was closed.
Yeah, Super Frico, it seems, is closed through February 6th for training, according to the website.
I mean, it looked like, according to my Google Maps, that it's always closed on Wednesdays anyway, so I don't know. Yeah, Super Frico was closed. The whole third floor is closed, which is like some big pizza place now, and the Laurel Lounge is closed. The Hell's Kitchen was closed, and Kwai was closed. So it's like literally like 80% of the restaurants, I feel like, are closed. The only things that were open were the other board in Ramsey.
Yeah, the pub.
Whatever, in the lobby, and Nobu. I think if I went on Tuesday, it might be even worse. Kwai would probably be open, I guess, to make up for Nobu being closed. But yeah.
Yes, those are equal choices. Like, oh, well, we're going to go to Kwai, but let's just go spend $1,000 at Nobu instead.
Yeah, got to.
Other than food, did you do any non-gambling stuff this trip?
Beyond all the places I said that I visited, no.
Okay, some questions about things that I saw on the Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
What was the best thing you ate on this trip?
Everything I had was good. I mean, I think Nobu is just a higher quality restaurant than the other places I went, not surprisingly, and it's also, you know, four times the price by volume or whatever, at least, than everywhere else I ate. So I mean, I have to say it was Nobu.
Was there one highlight dish at Nobu?
The sushi was very good. The scallop dish I got, which was like a special, that was also excellent. It was like scallops with some sort of jalapeno something salsa on them.
Sounds good.
I got like miso eggplant, which was also good. Everything was good at Nobu, yeah. So I tell you that I had nothing that I would consider bad. The eggplant absolutely scalded the crap out of my mouth, but that was like a personal problem and not necessarily Nobu's problem.
Mm. Maybe we should start blaming restaurants for that, though. Maybe they shouldn't bring it out so hot. I get it. I get really annoyed. That's like my biggest pet peeve in the world, is burning my mouth on stuff. I hate it. And I burn my mouth on things that are like barely above room temperature. So,
uh-huh.
You got a box of sake.
I did, just like last time.
But you did some searching on the history of the box of sake.
Yeah, I was like, surely this is not a real thing. This is just something Nobu invented. But no, according to Claude, it's like a real custom in Japan or whatever.
Claude being your best friend?
Claude is my best friend.
Your imaginary friend?
I mean, he's pretty real.
Claude is Google's AI, right?
No, it's Anthropics. Gemini is Google's AI.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Come on, you gotta get your AI straight.
I'm off that team now. I'm not doing all the LLM whatever.
I mean, I do have to say, I think people should use them. They're extremely useful, but...
Nah, fuck that shit.
All right. I mean, it's your life. I mean, it's like we're in the sweet spot where they're incredibly useful for the next 2 years and they haven't killed us yet. So it's like you're just ruining your own life if you're not using them well. It's good.
They'll cannibalize each other before they kill us. I think that's the next step. Anyways, that's enough talking about large language models. Is that what they are?
That is.
Asked about the box of sake. Does Nobu hold up to the incredibly high price tag?
I think it does, if that's what you want. Would I go every trip? Like, absolutely not.
How much was it after the celebration dinner?
$30, maybe.
Oh, okay. So 130 for a person, you got a box of sake?
130, 140, something like that. Before tip, because I left cash for the tip. So it was like 130 or 40 before tip. So it was like probably 170 total or whatever.
Whew, it's expensive.
It's expensive for one person with just one drink. I mean, it was a box of sake, which is not cheap because it's a lot of sake. Yeah, and just the like three or four dishes I got. But it's really very good. It's something that if you appreciate Japanese food and you appreciate nice food, like you should absolutely do at some point. Like I said, I wouldn't go unless I had something to spend at Caesar's, but it's very good.
Have a couple more questions.
Uh-huh.
One of them is that you named Gilchrist your favorite restaurant in Atlantic City for 2024.
Mm-hmm.
How does Gilchrist compare to Nobu?
I mean, it's just, it's not an apples-to-apples comparison, right? You can't compare them directly.
But we had to because we had to pick a favorite.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, what do you like more, like grapes or My Neighbor Totoro? I don't know. I don't know how to compare these two things because they're not the same at all, right?
If you had both this trip, though, would you come home like, oh, my favorite restaurant of AC is Nobu now?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
I mean, money matters. If I had infinite money, I would say that Nobu is better than Gilchrist, right? But I don't have infinite money. So I think like value is something that has to come into play. And I can spend $15 and get a great meal at Gilchrist, or I can spend $150 and get a great meal at Nobu.
Maybe it is apples to apples, and you just have to decide if Nobu is 10 times as good as Gilchrist.
I mean, I don't think it is, but I think it's better than Gilchrist.
It's like 8.5 times. Yeah.
No. It's like twice as good, maybe.
Okay.
I mean, 1.5 times, something like that. But... I mean, it's not like...
I love this conversation.
I wouldn't expect something that is 10 times better to be cost 10 times more. I'd expect something that's 10 times better to cost like 1,000 times more or something,
that's
right?
That's a good point. Yeah, that's true.
So I think it's like, yeah, 1.5 times or 2 times better than Gilchrist, but 10 times more expensive.
I did sort of have that thought, and I'm going to derail our timing here, but I was listening back to our episode as I was editing it, our best of episode.
Mm-hmm.
2 days after that, I went and stayed in New York City and went to a Broadway show and went and got cocktails at a place in New York. And I got two cocktails at $24 each and a tiny appetizer of pork belly bao buns, like really little ones, and it was $22. So with tip, it was like over $90 for this stuff. And just realizing how expensive decent restaurants are in New York City made me think Doc's is so much better value than even I was giving it credit for. Like, you look at the menu, all the entrees are in the 30s.
Yeah.
Like, to not have any of them hit $40 really other than, like, steak and lobster. And even, like, chain places are creeping up to that range, right? Mm-hmm. If you're talking about value for food, Doc's is actually, I think, incredible value.
I mean, honestly, I think compared to what you just described, I think Nobu's great value, too. Because I got a substantial meal and a substantial amount of alcohol for, you know, $140, which isn't nothing, but...
My last question, you mentioned you went to Maria's Luncheonette.
Mm-hmm.
How does that compare to Gilchrist's?
It depends. Okay, so I have two things to say. One, like, I think I mentioned in my post that I thought their home fries were bad there, but I do not like potatoes, so I would never get the home fries at Gilchrist either. I always get grits, so, like, just having the option for grits, like, if I have that option versus any kind of home fries, pretty much, unless it's the Waffle House variety where it's, like, 99% fried product versus 1% potatoes, like, that is palatable to me, but if it's, like, this is all potato all the time, I don't like that. So that's worth a lot to me that at Gilchrist I can get grits instead of home fries, because I don't love home fries and I particularly didn't love Maria Luncheonette. But It depends on what kind of pancakes you like. Marie's Luncheonette were, like, very classic style, very fluffy, you know, American style pancakes. Whereas Gilchrist are, like, much thinner, like, more like almost crepe style pancakes. So if you want really fluffy pancakes, you should go to Marie's Luncheonette, I think, especially if you enjoy home fries. Or you could just not get the home fries, I guess. But
I do like home fries.
Yeah.
My final question, how dead was it on a Wednesday, Thursday in January?
Extremely dead. It was so dead.
That's not surprising.
Everywhere. Atlantic Avenue was empty. Bally's was empty. Caesar's was empty. All the restaurants I went to were empty, pretty much.
Makes sense.
I mean, Nobu had a couple people in it, but even that was 90% empty. But other than that, there was one table of people in King's Pub. There was zero other tables of people in Marie's Luncheonette.
Wow.
Yeah. When I went to the McDonald's to get my McFlurry, there was zero people in the drive-thru line with me.
Whoa. So, that's crazy. Any last thoughts on your trip?
It was good. I'm glad I did it. Like I said, I wish the gambling had gone better, but we just went back to Caesars and just lost everything we did. So that's how it goes sometimes.
Does your wife have to go back full-time, and are you now not able to do any more midweek trips?
Her return to office date is February 24th, I think. So I think it will definitely make it more challenging after that if she actually has to stay full time, but
TBD.
We'll see what happens. I mean, they don't have seats. Like, they don't have an office. So
that's good. That helps.
I mean, she's been told she has to report full time, but we'll see what ends up happening. Because like I said, they sold two of their offices during the pandemic. So
good luck to Kyle's midweek trips.
Mm-hmm.
So I also went to Atlantic City a week and a half after you did. Very different trip. I went with my wife, our friend Dave, and his wife. Dave and his wife were going to see the Coral Reefer Band at the Hard Rock on Friday night, which is Jimmy Buffett's band. The plan was for Andrea and I to go Friday and just do our own thing Friday and then hang out all day Saturday, except then our kids' school dance got scheduled for that Friday, so we ended up not going down until Saturday morning. We ended up staying in Tropicana. I stayed in the North Tower. I liked the room a lot. It's a very large room. I was very surprised by that for like an older tower. Dated, but in pretty good shape for how old it was, I would say. Kind of sterile. I think my wife described it as sterile, like pretty basic.
Yeah.
Design, furniture, carpet, walls. The bathroom was big and pretty nice, so that was good.
It reminds me very much of the old Tilton rooms, I feel like, which were also very big and kind of basic. And
yeah. Very dated, though. The old Tilton room. So we got there at 11:15. We couldn't check in yet, so we met Dave and his wife and went to the outlets and ended up spending a few hours walking around the outlets, bought a bunch of stuff. I was at one point 100% every store we set foot in, I bought something at, which is always a good
thing.
That's
good.
Supporting the local economy. And, you know, by the local economy, I mean...
You mean large brands.
J. Crew, Under Armour, yeah. Old Navy. As we were walking around the outlets, we got lunch at Tun Tavern, which the beer that we got I thought was very good. I got the Winter Lager. Dave got the Diving Horse Hazy IPA. The food was extremely hit or miss. I got a brisket sandwich that I thought was pretty good, pretty solid. My wife got a cheesesteak that was quite bad. It was like very dry and not very good. We then went and checked in at Tropicana and almost immediately turned around and walked out to Angeloni's Club Madrid for happy hour. Got a few cocktails, sat around talking for a while. They have a new happy hour menu at Angeloni's Club Madrid with some more substantial stuff on it, I think. Also some of the smaller bites, like they have $1.50 chips. It's like house-made chips with three different dips, which sounds very funny to have like chips and dip on the menu, but it was $1.50. They had the salted ricotta, which we got last time, which was significantly less salty this time.
It was so salty when we got it.
We got Clams Casino. We got calamari, which I thought was really good, but my wife said it was too many of the tentacle-y things and not enough of the rings.
The tentacle part's the best part.
So yeah, we got a bunch of different appetizers on the happy hour menu. I think we each got two different cocktails. My wife absolutely loved the Paul Steelman, which is like a vodka passion fruit drink that comes with a tiny little glass of Prosecco as a palate cleanser. The new happy hour snacks menu, I think, is a big upgrade where it used to be like basically a drink and a snack, I think, was the deal. And the snacks were all pretty small. One of the things they added to the happy hour menu was a coupe glass, a little 5-ounce cocktail glass of Miller High Life for $1.50. So Dave and I each had to get one of those. Something about drinking the champagne of beers out of a cocktail glass. It was excellent. I'm going to start doing that at home. So we hung out there and talked for a while. Again, just the vibe there is so awesome. It was crowded. We got the last four seats at the bar, I think, when we got there. So that worked out really well. Good to see it doing good business and moving a lot of cocktails and everything. Then we went back to Tropicana, played some slots and stuff, and then ended up getting a late dinner. Not late enough for late night happy hour, but at Osu. And just each couple got four small plate things. We got a couple rolls. I got some sort of cocktail that was decent, not amazing, like very sweet and fruity, which I've had a few cocktails at Osu now, and that's pretty much how I describe them. It had like a plum sake in it. Mm-hmm. So it was like cool to try it, but not amazing. The food, I thought the food at Osu was fantastic this time.
Yeah, because you were like lukewarm when we yes. went with me, you, and Paul.
Yeah, so I thought it was absolutely amazing, and I don't know if it was the fact that I was several drinks in at that point, because mm-hmm. my wife did not seem as enamored.
Yeah, I think when we went last time, we fell for the trap that we only ordered off the late night happy hour menu, and I think some of their other stuff they have that is not on the happy hour menu is a bit better. So not being shackled to a happy hour menu is probably a good thing at Osu.
Yeah, so we got the shrimp tempura roll, some sort of spicy salmon roll. I thought both of those were really, really good. I did get to try a pork belly skewer. That I thought was amazing. So everything I thought was really, really good. So I'm much higher on Osu this trip than I was last trip. Then we ended up playing a bunch of slots and video poker. My wife did not go to bed at 9:30 like she normally does. So we ended up staying up playing slots of video poker until like 1:30 in the morning and then grabbing some Mrs. Fields cookies and eating them in the room and going to bed.
I've heard the stories of you just waking up surrounded by crumbs with your wife also in the bed or whatever from your previous trips. I mean, it's not toasted coconuts, but...
Yeah. Well, usually she's gone to bed 4 hours right. before I've gone to bed, but that didn't happen this time. Woke up and had breakfast at Hash House A Go-Go, which I really liked the last time I went. This time I thought... parts of it were very good, and some of it was just not great. Like, the eggs were kind of undercooked. The, like, chorizo in the hash was super spicy, but I actually thought it was pretty good. They give you, like, a huge tortilla so you can make, like, little wraps with your hash. I thought that was pretty tasty. My wife got the pancake, which she liked a lot. It's just a massive, massive pancake. It's really just, like, a very standard pancake flavor-wise, like a standard sort of fluffy pancake. It's just extremely large. Dave got the corned beef hash, which I think was supposed to come with, like, shredded crispy potatoes, but they just put on, like, regular breakfast potatoes instead, which I think he was very annoyed about.
Terrible.
Yeah, which you would also be very annoyed about.
Yep.
I certainly wouldn't recommend Hash House over Gilchrist. Like, I think that would be a crazy thing to suggest. And Hash House was very empty, which I was really surprised because, you know, it's got a good reputation. It was Sunday, a little bit before checkout. The hotel was just absolutely packed with cheerleaders. So I was really expecting it to be, like, full of families, and it was not that crowded. But Tropicana has just a crazy number of breakfast places between Casa, Gilchrist, Hash House A Go-Go. There's another place even. There's just so many places to get breakfast at Tropicana. We ended up going and playing more slots. Dave and Kelly left pretty much right after breakfast and check out. And then Andrea and I ended up playing slots for like 4 more hours. So that was the one big thing about this trip is, like, historically my wife is very not into the gambling and is like puts 20 bucks in, and when she's lost 10 of it, she's like, oh no, I'm going to lose this whole 20 bucks. And then is done with gambling for the trip. But this time she found some slots that she was really into. The thing that she found that she really liked was the slots where it gives you some sort of indicator of how close you are to getting a bonus. So
you know those indicators aren't actually true. Right,
right. But she doesn't know that.
Okay.
So like the pots, the firecracker, there's one with firecrackers that the firecrackers add up as you get more and more. And then, you know, you eventually hit the bonuses. But we played those some. We did the pots games. She wasn't into the pigs or the hens, though.
Hmm. Wasn't into the rake and bacon with the pig that looks like he's going to burst and stuff.
There's one called Mo Mummy, where it's like stacks of gems and stuff. We played the firecracker game. It's called Bao Zhu Zhao Fu. That was fun. It was a fun game, regardless of the bonuses having nothing to do with the firecrackers. It is fun when you hit the bonuses. Like, one of the bonuses is that it gives you two screens. So you're playing two games at once, and then it's like the Dragon Link, Lightning Link, where it's the locking balls. They're not balls, but it locks the amounts. At one point, she came over while I was playing video poker, and she was like, I almost won $10,000 because she had 11 of the 15 positions locked with the balls. It's like, oh boy, you were not anywhere close. Like, I've had 14 of 15 many, many times. But it's funny now that she's into the slots, which is very unexpected. I was actually up on video poker this trip, which was very surprising because that has not been the case in a long time. I had a session, late night session on Saturday with Dave where I was just hitting like full houses. I must hit 10 full houses. I hit 2 four-of-a-kinds. So that helps a lot. On the way out, so at the end of the trip, I swiped my card and they were doing a thing at Caesars Properties where I don't know if it changed for every person, but for me, it was 300 tier credits to mm-hmm. get some sort of bonus. And I thought it was just free play or slot play. And we were about to leave, and I swiped in. It was like, you need 4 more tier credits to get this bonus.
Well, you have to.
Yeah, so I just walked to the video poker machine in the quarter, which I probably would have been better off just playing a slot, like just for speed of earning the tier credits. Ended up breaking exactly even on the video poker machine and getting my 4 tier credits, and then went and swiped my card. And it said I could either get $25 free bet, $25 slot play, or $25 in rewards credits.
Yeah.
So I took the rewards credits, of course.
Smart.
And then left. On the way out, I ordered a $10.50 venti latte from the Starbucks in the marketplace using Starbucks stars in the app.
So that's
good. That's getting maximum value for your Starbucks stars. And then we drove home. So it was a good trip. It was a very, very different trip. This is the first trip I've gone on with my wife since, I think, October of 2023. And it's funny just like how different the trip is. We didn't even touch a machine to gamble until, I don't know, 7:30 at night or something on Saturday when we'd been there for like 8.5 hours.
And you still gambled a ton.
And we still gambled a decent amount. So
I mean, if you got 300 points on just the next morning or whatever.
It was combined. I think you have 24 hours. So it was combined total.
Okay.
I think I only earned like 105 the first night. And then we actually ended up somehow getting 195 the second day, which seems like a lot.
I mean, if you're playing slots the whole time, I don't think it's that much.
Right. And we were both playing slots on my card. So,
right.
Yeah, I guess it added up pretty quick. We did on the car ride home. My wife was like, so you normally gamble more than that? I was like, yes. But the big thing is, like, we just spend more time gambling. It's not like I'm gambling bigger amounts than that. It's just that normally that's the focus of the trip, right? Like, there's no 3 hours at the outlets or anything like that. But it was really fun. Like, sitting around talking at the Angeloni's Club Madrid was awesome. I'm super high on Angeloni's Club Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
That new happy hour is great. The cocktail list is fantastic. So highly, highly recommend Angeloni's Club Madrid. We did drive by Docks at 3:35.
Was there a line out the door?
Huge line out the door.
Yeah.
And AC was not all that crowded.
It's Saturday, though. You'd think midweek probably it wouldn't be like that.
Yeah. Big line at Docks. Big line at Carmine's in Tropicana. Big line at another restaurant, Tropicana, too. It was weird because the casino floor was not all that crowded. But I think the hotel was just full of cheerleaders and cheerleader parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so the restaurants were very crowded. So, yeah, it was fun. One really stupid thing was I was really tired after the outlets and I wanted a Red Bull. And so I was like, I know Red Bull in the little shops are super expensive, but I bet if I grab one at the pizza place in the quarter, it won't be as expensive. Rang it up, $7.45 for an 8-ounce Red Bull.
Yeah.
I think gold is less expensive than Red Bull in the Tropicana.
I did not believe that to be the case.
But that's why you stop at Aldi on the way down. You got to get that Red Thunder, no Red mm-hmm. Bull.
Got to.
Everybody laughed at my Red Thunder tweet last time, but gotta do it.
All right, so I've got a couple questions for you if you're about done.
Okay.
Or comments. It's disappointing to hear Tun Tavern, because I thought when we went, my food was pretty good. I got a burger there, and I thought it was pretty tasty, and I liked the beer a lot. So it is too bad that the food was uneven, as you said.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you get a burger, or if you get that brisket barbecue sandwich, like, it's probably pretty good, but the cheesesteak was bad.
Mm-hmm. How does it compare with an infamous pepper steak experience in terms of bad cheesesteaks?
I'd probably prefer the bad cheesesteak at Tun Tavern over the pepper steak. Like, the pepper steak was borderline inedible. But that was more just the fault of preparation, I think. Like, I don't think you're ever going to get a good cheesesteak at Tun Tavern. I believe that you can get a good cheesesteak
at the
Sack of Subs. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good to hear Angeloni Club Madrid is very high on the list still. My personal, you know, number one place for cocktails in Atlantic City 2024. So glad to hear you coming around.
The cocktail list also changed a little. They've added cocktails, so there's more on the list.
Well, yeah, we should check it out again sometime when we go this year. Should I go to Hash House A Go-Go at some point? I have not been to a Hash House A Go-Go in 15 years, probably. Last time I went was at the Imperial Palace, so that is dating it a little bit.
I don't think it's your jam at all. It's not cheap. It's just massive portions.
It was a lot of food when I went there, which is good.
I think if you went, you just end up wishing you had gone to Gilchrist,
mm-hmm.
honestly. Or even Casa, really.
Yeah. We haven't been to Casa in like 5 years also, so that's maybe something we should check out. But I do remember that being good.
Yeah. I mean, there's also breakfast at the barbecue place, including giant cinnamon rolls.
Mm-hmm.
So I would try that at some point. I don't even remember what the barbecue place is called, but upstairs in the quarter. I will say, when we were going into Osu, I was looking at Il Verde.
Mm-hmm.
Which is right next door. It's the former Olan space.
Yeah, it would just make me sad going there, I think, because of the incredible deal that Olan Happy Hour was. But
they've redone the decor a little bit in there. It looks really nice in there. But I would definitely like to try it just because it looks like a really cool spot and it gets really good reviews.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. I feel very much the same about Trop as I always feel, but I think for a couples trip, it's a great option because of all the restaurants and bars and places to go. Like, we didn't even make it to Gin Ricky's or the Royce, which has some non-gambling games you can play, like shuffleboard and stuff, which I thought we'd end up at because I didn't think the wives would be so into gambling as much as they ended up being.
Cuba Libre. So many things to do.
There's a ton of stuff there.
Cuba Libre. Well, they said I was not allowed.
Yeah. There's the IMAX theater, which was showing some horror movie this time, so that wasn't going to happen.
Some escape room.
That's true. I saw an ad for an escape room saying it was the number one attraction in Atlantic City.
There's one also in the outlets.
There is. You're right. I will say, though, the outlets, I always sort of think, like, the outlets aren't that great, right? Like, I like them, but it's a good outlet center. Like, there's a lot of good stores there. It's big. I think we only got to about 50% of it or 60% of it.
It's big.
That's a good way to spend time if you're not, like, itching to get back to the tables.
Yeah. Like, I usually don't go up towards the Starbucks. Like, I'm not over in that zone because I'm usually down in the shoe shops, more or less. But it's big. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff there.
I did get some Under Armour shoes for $27, so I'm happy about
that. You got to. They're not neon orange. That's the problem.
There were bright, bright pink ones, and my wife looked at me like, no.
Ooh, I would have liked that.
And it's like, I'm just wearing them in the basement to work out. Like, nobody's seeing me in these shoes. I should have got the pink. They were like $65, though. Like, they were expensive.
Yeah, no, you can't. It's $27 or nothing.
Yeah. I mean, they're probably way better shoes.
I think my last question before we wrap this up is, when are we going to do one night weekday trip? Probably before the 24th of February would be good, but...
So, here's the thing, and I've not talked to my wife about this.
Uh-huh.
I am off, assuming I'm not in a jury trial, on February 12th, a Wednesday.
Okay.
So I could potentially get there, like, late Tuesday night and stay almost the entire day Wednesday and then come home Wednesday.
Let me check the calendar. Yes, that should be fine. The 11th to the 12th?
Or the other way to do it would be to go right after kid drop-off on
the 12th to the
12th, and then, like, get up and go on the 13th.
Either way should be fine for me. 12th to the 13th, like, morning to morning is always going to be better for me, I think, than evening to evening.
Okay.
Because if I do evening to evening, that means my wife has to do drop-off and pick-up on the same day, which is much harder.
Yeah, let me talk to my wife about that.
12th to the 13th.
Here's the other question about 12th to the 13th. It is an easy comp everywhere, presumably, right?
Yes.
So for checking off the 9 casinos purposes.
Ooh, yeah. What do we want to do?
Like, in my head, I was like, oh, I kind of want to go to Golden Nugget. But I can get Golden Nugget 7 days
a week. You can get Golden Nugget anytime.
Right.
Realistically, like, what's hard for us to, like,
Ocean
or Hard Rock?
Hard Rock. Those are the two that are very hard on weekends.
We can talk about it.
We could. One of us could stay in one and one of us could stay in the other.
The problem for me, and this is, like, a ridiculous problem just for wanting to hoard status or whatever, is that I haven't played at either of those places in a while, and I should be able to match, like, later in the year to them.
You don't think you can match in February?
I can, but I think Ocean's year is, like, April to April or something, so if I match in April...
And I think Hard Rock's end in February.
Yeah, so I think it's a bad time to go to either of them for me. I mean, we could always do... It's been a forever that we've done Harrah's, too. We could do a Harrah's trip or Golden Nugget.
Yeah, I mean, neither of those are particularly difficult comps, but, you know, you do have to check them off the list at some point.
Right. And, like, who wants to go to Harrah's or Golden Nugget with us? Like, absolutely no one, right?
That's true. That's a good point. Like, we're not going to get anyone, like, wives, friends, or anyone on board for a Golden Nugget trip.
I'm going to go to Tropicana at some point just because people are going to want to go, and that's where people can get comps, and so we're going to stay at Trop, right?
To be fair, like, you and I are the ones who are going most of the time.
Right.
So I don't know how much that gets counted in. Okay, so let's look now. I haven't stayed at Ocean since August of 2023. Mm-hmm. I haven't stayed at Golden Nugget since March of 2023.
Mm-hmm. You probably haven't stayed at Harrah's in forever.
I haven't stayed at Hard Rock since July of 2022, which seems crazy.
That's surprising. I stayed more recently than that.
Harrah's was December of 2021.
Wow.
That's a long time.
Other than
Bally's.
Bally's, it's your longest?
The last time I stayed at Bally's, care to guess?
2018?
17. Oh, December of 2017. So you're very, very close. Uh-huh. You and I stayed. Oh, you didn't stay the night.
Oh, that was for Travel Zork, right?
That was Zorkfest.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, wow. That's the last time I stayed at Bally's. It's crazy. So it was still Caesars at that point.
Yeah. That was a day trip for me because I had a newborn at home.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. We should do Harrah's or Nugget, maybe.
Yeah.
If this trip works out.
All right. Just let me know.
I don't know. My wife may be like, you were just there. Like, what?
I need to.
It's like, no, I need to. This is for the podcast.
I mean, the problem with Harrah's is I'll be, like, real bitter about having just lost my diamond and having to pay the, whatever, $38 or $42 or whatever it is.
That's a good point.
We can do it. I can try to get Atrium Tower again. I'm sure it says that it's available, and I'm sure that it's not actually open, but...
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it. Anyway, if you want to reach out to us or any of our other listeners, you can do so at our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/doforawin. Find all of our great content at doforawin.com. Reach out to Craig on Twitter or Blue Sky at doforawin or me at Kyle Askin. And send us email to doforawin@gmail.com, and we will answer them on air. How's our inbox?
Not much in there. I don't think it's changed since the last episode.
I have to report, I did check my Bally's account, and I'm still getting nothing there. So, you know, sometimes it takes time.
Other than Caesars, I think just about everyone else takes a while to adjust to your latest play.
Caesars, we'll see what happens, because I lost a ton of money there, but my ADP was very low, because I just, like, lost it immediately, so I'm always nervous when that happens.
Yeah.
That I'm like, they should give me credit for, like, a good bit of gambling, but I don't know if they always will. So, anyway, we will see. Maybe we'll get ready to do it again in a couple weeks. It would be fun.
We'll just never have news or data. We'll just all have trip reports, because we're just going so often.
We could do news next time, and then we'll have a trip report. Hopefully the time after that, maybe.
Yeah, I would give it like 50-50 at the moment, but we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys very much for listening, and we'll be back in a couple weeks.
Maybe the first slot machine we played at Tropicana, if you care to guess.
Wonder Woman?
Wonder Woman, which very quickly my wife picked up on. Like, why do you like this slot machine?
Are you like the articles?
She was like very quickly like, is your celebrity crush 1970s one? I was like, well, no, I was playing it all night once, like just digging deeper into the hole. Like I was playing all night once and then I just liked the slot machine so much I went home and watched an entire season of Wonder Woman. I was like, what am I saying? Stop talking. So yeah, my wife knows too much now.